Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And this episode, we are really excited to talk about a new drug, not yet FDA approved, but it is called orforglipron. This is an oral GLP-1 receptor agonist that recently had top-line results from the ACHIEVE-1 trial. This is going to be presented, by the way, at ADA Scientific Session, so we're really excited to hear the full report out, and I plan to be in that room because there's nothing more exciting than being in the room and then seeing it simultaneously published. But anyway, we're really excited because the top line results were very impressive. So this was studied in a population with type 2 diabetes, and their baseline A1C was 8%. And they showed that there was an A1C reduction from 1.3 to 1.6%, which may not sound like a ton, but when you start off with an A1C of 8%, that's quite a large reduction, right? And so in terms of actually 65% of participants achieved an A1C of less than 6.5%, which is optimal. Normally, we can't even get less than 7. So less than 6.5% is quite awesome. And then in addition to that, the highest dose achieved body weight loss of 7.9%, which was on average 16 pounds. And this was a 40-week trial. And one of the things that they noted was that the slope, so how much weight was being consistently lost from week to week, it was still going down. So we don't know, you know, let's say it was studied for a full year or 2 years, we would hypothesize there would be some more weight loss, although we can't say that for sure, but it was still going down throughout the trial. So Natalie, curious your thoughts on this new top line data.
We are so excited about this. And why? What does this matter? What does it matter? There are people who do not want to inject GLP-1s or GLP-GIP-1s, right? So that's number one. No matter what, no matter, there is nothing. And the only other oral needs to be taken very specifically. So semaglutide is available in oral form, and that oral form needs to be taken with no more than 4 ounces of water on an empty stomach, waiting at least 30 minutes every day. And so that I can tell you in my own clinical practice, when I say you can do this once a week as an injection, or you can do this oral every day, and people say, you mean, but I can have my coffee, right? No, you can't even have black coffee, right? So it's literally 4 ounces of water for 30 minutes. People actually don't necessarily want to do either one of them. Because this molecule is different, this won't need to happen. They can be taken with other medications, and that will actually, I think, increase the people with diabetes' willingness to even try it and do it. So that's number one. It's just going to reduce, again, here we are talking about person with diabetes burden. That is our number one thing that we come across when people are struggling. It just feels so much. It's so much. I first have to do this. Then I have to do this. This is easy. Most of our patients already take a statin. They take other things. They do whatever. It just can be added to the rest of their medication. So I'm excited about that. A1C reduction are both. I mean, so this is weight right now. We're going to talk a little bit about A1C. You know, 1.3 to 1.6. This is impressive. I mean, there are medications that we get 0.5 to 1.2 out of, right? Or 0.5 alone. So I'm impressed with 1.3 to 1.6 A1C reduction.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to highlight is the safety. So recently, we heard disappointing news. So Pfizer actually had said they're kind of abandoning one of their oral GLP-1s in the pipeline out of concerns of liver toxicity. So safety, we cannot take that lightly. So fortunately, the safety profile looked very comparable to what we see with some of our FDA-approved agents like Ozempic, Mounjaro, for example. And so that part is very exciting. And so it looks like this is really going to be able to move forward in terms of gaining approval for type 2 diabetes. But actually, even more imminently, they're planning to seek approval for weight management. And there was actually a huge Times article on this topic, on this new molecule, because it really has the possibility to revolutionize diabetes and obesity care. because it's oral, it would be easier to manufacture. You wouldn't have to, you know, have this injectable pen. It would probably be easier.
Keep it refrigerated, do the whole, right. These are pills and they're easier. Right. Exactly.
Right.
And think about what we have to do with a GLP-1.
Right. And because it's unlike Rybelsus, it's not, we don't have to worry as much about the storage, about it getting as easily degraded. So that would hopefully translate to a lower cost. When we think, even when you compare SGLT2 inhibitors to GLP-1 agonists, I mean, SGLT2 inhibitors are about half the cost. They're still expensive, don't get me wrong, but they are definitely lower cost. And when you think about how many people could benefit from obesity pharmacotherapy, having a lower cost option would just save us millions and probably billions of dollars.
So absolutely.
So also one of the things they talked about in the Times article is this idea that, so yes, we know there can be really powerful weight loss from drugs like Wegovy, Zepbound, but if there was an oral option, even if it had a little bit less weight loss, potentially you could start off with these injectables, get to the goal weight, and then transition to a daily pill. I mean, how much easier would that be for people? It would just be lower cost, it'd be really easy, take it with your other pills, your vitamins, whatever you're taking. So that, I mean,
that's a real option. Right. Absolutely.
So it was about it. Yeah, why there was a Times article on this, because it like really could have major public health implications.
Absolutely. And think about things like, we are using GLP-1s post-bariatric surgery now. This might be appropriate for that. This could be appropriate for all kinds of different things. And so there are going to be other trials that come out of this. So this drug, all the trials are going to are achieve trials. So we're going to have achieve 2 that's expected, right? Comparing it to dapagliflozin with people with type 2 diabetes. Achieve 3, which will be comparing it to Rybelsus in adults with type 2. Achieve 4 with compared to insulin glargine and obesity or overweight at increased cardiovascular risk, that cardiovascular risk outcome trial, right? And then, of course, with type 2, using insulin glargine with or without metformin, with or without an SGLT2 inhibitor. So they are looking at this, knowing that we need other things. And what else? What else would we might look at? Because we've looked at it in other things, sleep apnea, those kinds of other indications. Let's look at kidney disease. All of those things are going to come in the future because this molecule had such a significant impact on weight and on glucose. Early on in these early trials, right? Now, let's talk about the other side of it, which is the side effects. Diarrhea, placebo was 9%. And as the dose was increased from 3 to 12 to 36, there was an increased risk of an increased incidence, I'm sorry, of diarrhea. Nausea, same thing, 13 to 16% reported nausea. Dyspepsia, 10 to 15, constipation, 8 to 14, right? So we do see the same or similar levels of side effects as we do with the other GLP-1s, though. So we know in trials, a lot of times there's more of a forced titration, which means like with when we did the semaglutide trials, it was 0.25 for 4 weeks and then 0.5 for 4 weeks. And then, right, and it was more of a forced thing. When we get these in clinical practice, what we do is very different. I might say, you need 3 milligrams. Let me know how your side effects go. We can keep you on that 3 months and then increase, right? We can titrate differently and have a little bit more control to reduce those risks overall. But we do need to say that there were side effects, but they're very similar to the other GLP-1 GIP products. So this is a pill. Are you kidding me? This is going to be amazing.
Right. I would say the one thing we probably just need to be to think about is just the cardiovascular outcome data, because this molecule works just a little bit differently. And so yes, while we hypothesize that, why wouldn't there be cardiovascular outcome positive data, right? We've seen it with the other molecules. We were really excited. The SOUL trial showed that with the oral semaglutide, Rybelsus. We can't automatically assume that we'll see it with this. So that data needs to be collected and researched, and then we'll know for sure. If it does have that positive cardiovascular outcome data, then it's like slam dunk, right? It's just incredible. But even if it's neutral, I think combined with other cardiovascular protective therapies, it'll be great. But hopefully we'll also see positive data like we do with other GLP-1 type drugs.
Awesome. Excellent. What a great discussion, right? And more excitement. I mean, I think that's really what this comes down to is, yet another option for people with diabetes, as well as obesity. We will see that too later in, you know, they're looking at it all. And when these approvals come out, it will be another thing in our armamentarium to say, we need to treat this. These are your options, and give and offer some person with diabetes or person with obese choices.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, this has been a great discussion. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.